Once, when Hani found Santen kneeling alone and praying in the wilderness, she asked, "Who are you speaking to, Namchild?" And Santen was at a loss, for though the San language was rich and complex in its descriptive powers of the material aspects of the desert world, it was extremely difficult to use it to convey abstract ideas. However, after long discussions spread over many days while they foraged in the desert or worked over the cooking fire, Santen managed to describe her concept of the Godhead, and Hani nodded dubiously and mumbled and frowned as she considered it. "You are talking to the spirits?" she asked. "But most of the spirits live in the stars, and if you speak so softly, how will they hear you? It is necessary to dance and sing and whistle loudly to attract their attention." She lowered her voice. "And it is even then not certain that they will listen to you, for I have found the star spirits to be fickle and forgetful." Hani glanced around her like a conspirator. "It is my experience, Namchild, that Mantis and Eland are much more reliable." "Mantis and Eland?" Santen tried not to show her amusement. "Mantis is an insect with huge eyes that see all, and with arms like a little man. Eland is an animal, oh yes, much larger than the Hamsbok, with a dewlap so full of rich fat that it sweeps the earth." The San's love of fat was almost equal to their love of wild honey. "And twisted horns that sweep the sky. If we are fortunate, we will find both Mantis and Eland at the place to which we are going. In the meantime, talk to the stars, Namchild, for they are beautiful, but put your trust in Mantis and Eland." Thus, simply, Hani explained the religion of the San, and that night she and Santen sat under a brilliant sky, and she pointed out Orion's glittering train. "That is the head of celestial zebras, Namchild, and there is the inept huntsman." She picked out the star, Aldebaran, sent by his seven wives. She stabbed a gnarled finger at the Pleiades to find meat. "See how he has shot his arrow, and it has flown high and wide to fall at the feet of Lion Star." Sirius, the brightest of all the fixed stars, seemed truly lion-like. "And now the huntsman is afraid to retrieve his arrow and afraid to return to his seven wives, and he sits there forever twinkling with fear, which is just like a man, Namchild." Hani hooted with laughter and dug her bony thumb into her husband's scrawny ribs. Because the San were also star lovers, Santan's bond of affection for them was so strengthened that she pointed out Michael's star and her own in the far south. "But, Namchild," Owa protested, "how can that star belong to you? It belongs to no one and to everybody, like the shade of the camel thorn and the water in the desert pool, or the land on which we tread, to nobody and yet to everybody. Nobody owns the Eland, but we may take of his fat if we have need. Nobody owns the byplants, but we may gather them on condition that we leave some for the children. How can you say that a star belongs to you alone?" It was an expression of the philosophy which was the tragedy of his people, a denial of the existence of property which had doomed them to merciless persecution, to massacre and slavery, or to exile in the far reaches of the desert where no other people could exist.